Okay, Shalom Aleichem. We left off in the middle of our analysis of the machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos, the very beginning of the Masechet, as to why we do Bedikah Chayetz. Right? Rashi says, in order to avoid violating Vayiro Vayimatze, and we discussed how to explain Hishita in light of the Gemara. Of the Bittul B'Yal Masagi, and B'dikas Chavis being Drabanan, and Tosa says, Shema Yavala Achlo, Shalom Yavala Achlo, Xera, that you don't accidentally eat it. We left off with the Radvaz. What happened with Tosos? With Tosos, we asked why we make Xera, you have to search for Chametz so you don't come to eat it, and we don't make the same Xera about everything else. We basically had, you know, if here we have within Tosos of Shema Yavo L'Achlo, and we asked why only Chametz and not everything else that's traced that you don't want to end up eating. And one approach was that Lo B'Dili Mine, Chametz was unique in being Lo B'Dili Mine. You know, et cetera, plus maybe Chiyuv Kare, so it's more Chamer, plus maybe the Isser Hana, that's mutter to other people, et cetera, plus Isser Hana, and then we differentiated that from Yahya Nazir. His second approach was that Keva de HaTorah Hechmira Alav Chachamim Hechmira Alav. Right, that's where we left off. Since the Torah was very machmir by Chametz more than everything else, because the Torah says by Rabbi Yimotze, the Chachamim were also very machmir on Chametz. Okay, why was the Torah machmir on Chametz? Right, that's where we left off. Why was the Torah extra machmir about chametz? Right, that was not clear. So the Ran said, but this wouldn't work for Tosos. L'chora, the Ran and others, Ein zeh. The Ran, the Ritva, and others says, because of Lo B'Dili Mine, etc. Right? So the Ran says, why did the Torah so machmir on chametz? They made the chametz so machmir on chametz? Because you're more likely to eat it because you're not used to refraining from it. That's not Tosos, because then Tosos the second answer is the same as the first answer. So the other option we saw was the famous Radvaz, and the Radvaz says, because chametz is objectively worse than anything else in the Torah. Because chametz represent the Yitzhar Hara, picking up on one line, one throwaway line, and one Gemara in the Brachos. Chametz is Yitzhar Hara, and Yitzhar Hara is worse than anything else, therefore the Torah was super machmir, and likewise Chazal were super machmir, because it's Yitzhar Hara. Okay, that could be, but we pointed out, hey, it's based on one drush, and it's a nice explanation, right? Why is there's so many halachas about chametz access to the Yitzhar Hara? But besides the question we dealt with last time, with limited success as to, or you know, with some success as to why we eat chametz all year long, okay, it symbolized the Yitzhar Hara. Now it's a bit of a drush, it's a bit of a stretch. Okay, Chesky Glatt, I don't know if he's here on the Zoom, he suggested that if we're going with drush, you know, you could give another explanation. I'm not necessarily interested in going with drush. But you could say what's chametz all about is not the chametz is all about the Yitzhar Hara. That's one line in one Gemara in Brachos that's just a literary flourish. That's not a theme in Chazal. Some Achronim nowadays make a theme. It's not a theme in Chazal. But there is a theme in Chazal of chametz representing Zrizos. Mitzvah bal yadcha al tachmit sena. Chametz is really all about Zrizos. And acting with alacrity, being extra careful, etc. You know, that's the whole process of making matzah as opposed to chametz. So the Isser Chametz is telling us we should have more zrizos in our lives. Okay, if the whole point of the Isser Chametz is to have Zrizos, then the Torah is extra machir of extra Zrizos and Chametz by Rabbi Yimatze. And the Chazal were extra machir of extra Zrizos. Have extra Zrizos. You know, make sure nothing's in your house so you don't come to eat it, you know, be extra gozer on yourself. That's also Begeder Drush. I think perhaps if we're going to say Begeder Lundus, maybe we can give an alternative to Revaz. Because again, watch Pshat in the second answer of Tosos. Right? Not the Ron, because then it would be the same as the first answer. And maybe the Radvaz, but I admit the Radvaz is a bit of a stretch. Maybe you could say that that what's the difference? Why was the Torah more machmer and chametz than anything else? So perhaps, after all, there are things that are just as bad to eat as chametz, right? Chaylev and dam is also chayev karis. It's just as bad. And again, I don't know how to measure things, but we know a little how to measure things, right? Ain't that you there? Matan tzchar and shal mitzvos. It's hard to know how to measure mitzvos, but averos we do know. Matan tzchar and shal averos. Right, there's the karis and mises bezdin, nases and lavs, etc. So lechorer chametz chayiv karis, and chilav adam is also chayiv karis. And we never saw that you have to that the Torah was extra machmir about them. Adrav, the Torah is very tolerant of them. So perhaps the answer is, and here I would take a hint maybe from the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi has an approach which this drush is definitely not a drush in the Bavli, right? I'm not saying the Bavli agrees with the specific drush of the Yerushalmi. But the Yerushalmi is an interesting question. The very beginning of our Masechet, it says, how do we know that Yes, Ushmarta Vesamatzos. Kiva etzema yomazel tzitzit tzibosech meyers nesrayim, says the Yerushalmi. Something as Shmiras Matzos. Then it says, Barishon b'arbasar yom l'chodesh b'erev tochlu matzos v'gomer. On the 14th of, again, I'm reading the Shudashalmakers, the 14th of Nisan, you eat matzos. Etc. So what does it mean? You don't really eat matzos on the 14th, you only eat matzos starting on the 15th. So it must mean that you have to do bedika and get rid of your chametz on the 14th. So interesting, already the Yerushalmi sees getting rid of the chametz, it's a drasha. You don't know what to make of a drasha. Oh, there's an extra pasuk. It doesn't mean what it seems to mean, so it must mean something else. It ain't no idiot. But it's not like random, you know, like we assume, like, you know, it's not like Hashem's writing the Torah and he says, well, I want to write something, but I don't really want to write. Instead, I'll write something else and they'll figure out that's what it means. The Chorah, there's some message there. There's some thematic connection there. So somehow, the extra pasuk telling you to eat an extra day of chametz on the matz on the 14th, which is not true, is hinting to you to do bedikas chametz on the 14th. In other words, bedikas chametz has something with eating matzah. Okay, strange. Then they go on and say, and this is parallel to what our Gemara is going to say on Daf Dalet, why or haner? Okay, because candles help you check very well. Fine, why at night? Because candles are good to check at night. We'll get back to all that on Daf Dalet. Rav Mana says, no, ushmartim zayim azeh. Again, ushmartim, we started with the word ushmartim in Yerushalmi. We can end with the phrase ushmartim zayim azeh l'dor seif and chukas olam. Okay, that's enough for our purposes. You have to guard this day. We're assuming this day is the 14th, so the whole day has to be guarded. Therefore, you have to do bedikas chametz on Orlar Basar in the night, so that the whole 24 hours of the 14th of Nisan will be guarded. What is the basic theme of this Yerushalmi? Again, I'm not necessarily saying the Bavli agrees with every specific drush of this Yerushalmi. But what's the theme of the Yerushalmi? The theme of the Yerushalmi, I think, is very clear. Is that there is a kiyum in getting rid of chametz. There is a positive experience in getting rid of chametz, meaning shmira. Shmira is, now again, on the one hand, shmira is a negative language of prohibitions in the Torah. Clearly, shmira is telling you to do something, right? Shmarta, make it mishumarin. Like, make this a guarded day. Turn this day into a special day that's guarded from chametz. And even the hint that we learn bedikas chametz from the mitzvah of eating matzah, what is that hint? That bedikas chametz is not merely the avoidance of a negative. Eating matzah is a positive. Bedikas chametz is part of the framework, the general idea, which includes eating matzah, which is a positive experience of Pesach. If I could take one, now when we get to Daf Dalet, when the Bavli asks these questions, why at night and et cetera, we'll have to compare the Bavli and Yerushalmi. But if I could take maybe one general assumption, one general approach from this Yerushalmi, I think I would say, I take from this Yerushalmi the general idea that bedikas chametz, getting rid of chametz, is not just avoidance of some negative thing that might happen if I do an Aveira, but is part of the Kiyum of Pesach. That Pesach is supposed to be a certain special experience, a certain positive experience. Maybe part of the positive experience of Pesach is the Shmira Michametz. The Shmira Michametz is a positive part of our experience. That's definitely how we experience in our everyday lives, right? I think if you would ask, you know, the fact that, you know, we spent so much time preparing for Pesach, et cetera, we worry about this, and we clean that, et cetera, et cetera. You know, why is that? You know, sorry, what does that mean to us experientially in our lives? Ah, it's part of the experience of Pesach. It's part of what makes it a Pesach, is that we work so hard to get rid of all our chametz. It's part of the experience. So I think that's really what comes out of the Yerushalmi, that there's a special kiyum, right? We'll use the halach word, kiyum on Pesach, of asei mishumarim, of making it mishumar. There's a special kiyum of Pesach of guarding ourselves and staying extra far away from chametz. Not just because it's a worse avera than anything else, but because there's no special kiyum of staying away from chalev. There is a special kiyum of guarding yourself from chametz. And that's what Yerushalmi says, hayom v'alayim mishumarim. How long should you do that kiyum beforehand? You should have a 24-hour kiyum before Pesach starts of guarding yourselves from chametz, and that's why you do bedikah 24 hours in advance. Now, I know the Bavli does not make that drasha, but nonetheless, this yesod of shmira, I think, is something we find in both Bavli and Yerushalmi, right? In the context, in the Bavli, we find shmira in the context of the mitzvah of matzah, right? You need matzah shmura, right? What does shmura mean? And we know there's a big machlok Rishonim. I don't know if we'll get to it, whether you need matzah shmura for all 7 days of Pesach or only for Seder night, etc. But the inyan of matzah shmura is that it's not enough to just eat matzah and not eat chametz. You need to actively guard your matzah. It's not enough that your matzah is kosher. You need to guard it to make it kosher. There's a special key of a guarding from chametz, not just ending up being okay. Like if Eliyahu would come down and zap everything in the magic wand and make sure you're okay, you wouldn't do any avers, but you'd be missing the key of shmira. There's even one opinion in the Gemara, in Daf Mem, that you dafka are only allowed to have matzah that could have became chametz, and then you have the opportunity to guard it and make it not chametz. Right? That the mitzvah liltos, you dafka have to put water on your grain so that you'll do a good shmira. What's the point? The point is that shmira is not just avoiding a negative end result of an avera. Shmira is a positive experience, is a kiyum. So maybe you could say that if, maybe, ula yeshlomer al pivi Yerushalmi, that there's a kiyum of shmira michametz. And that's what we mean by the Torah was machmir. The Torah is very machmir. Not the Torah was machmir because chametz is a yetzer hara. Not the Torah is machmir because chametz is a little bit dealing. The Torah is machmir because the Torah wanted us to have a special experience when it comes to chametz. The Torah wanted chametz to be different to us than chaylev and dam and pigel and nosar and shkatzim ramasim and veils and trefos, etc. All those things are things the Torah just didn't want us eating. Chametz is something the Torah wants us to have an experience of keeping away from, an experience of guarding ourselves from. And therefore, since the Torah was machmir on to have a special experience, a special kiyum of staying away from chametz, Chazal were machmir to be more of a kiyum of staying away from chametz. And they even said, even though we go rice a bit, we'll be almasagi, do an extra kiyum of checking your house and getting rid of it anyway, lest you come to eat it. Not because we're really more worried you'll come to eat this than anything else. Not because it would be worse to eat this than anything else. But because we want to add to the kiyum of Pesach. Okay, that is a chiddush. That would explain a lot of things. Meaning, you know, I don't know if we'll have time to get to it in our perek this year, because there's really another perek. But the whole inyan of chumra de Pesach that we find in all the poskim. Oh, we're extra machmer by Pesach. We're extra machmer by Pesach. Why are we extra machmer by Pesach? I understand if chumra de Pesach means, well, you know, don't keep it right outside your driveway because you might come to eat it. Okay, that's lobe dilim yidei. But a chumra de Pesach is not just lobe dilim yidei. Chumra de Pesach means, okay, well, in kashering, use a more machmer shita, not a more mekel shita. You know, in questions of bittel shishim and dar shishim atirin and whatever, we always pick these super duper chumras for chumra de Pesach. Why? It's not because we're more likely to eat chametz than something else. Really, like, if we rely on the mekel sheet of hadar kasher, we're more likely to eat a piece of bread because we're used to eating bread all year long? No, it's just stam chumra. Why do you throw in so many stam chumras on Pesach? So, some of the Achronim say, we're so Machron Pesach, the Torah is Machron Pesach, because you might forget yourself and eat bread. It's not so mistaken to me. Really? I'm going to be Machron like weird cheetahs in kashering, you know, because I might come to eat bread if I don't? Like, being Machron like weird cheetahs doesn't keep me away from eating bread. Rav Vaz would say, because it's a horror, so chomer. Okay, but I don't know if I want to rely on that drush. But if you say no, that because Pesach is different than everything else in the Torah, you should not do aveiros, and you should do mitzvahs. You should not do aveiros. Pesach is not enough to not do aveiros. Pesach, the more you're shomer and marchik yourself from chametz, the more you're machmer and chametz, the more mekiyum of Pesach it is. Then we can maybe understand chomer de Pesach, I know it's a chiddush, comes not from a fear of an aveira. Chomer de Pesach comes from a kiyum of the experience of Pesach. The Torah was machmer and Pesach to make it a very unique kiyum of an experience. And likewise, we are machmer and Pesach to add to the kiyum experience of Pesach. I know I'm taking chomer de Pesach and flipping it from a survey ra to an asei tov, as it were, or an asei tov of a survey ra. But I really think there's a lot to be said for that. Certainly, I think that's true in the Yerushalmi, which starts our whole Masechet with Ushmartem as Amatzos. You know, what does Ushmartem as Amatzos have to do with Bedikas Chametz? The answer is, because that's the whole point. Matzos are not just about eating the right thing, not the wrong thing, but about being Shomer, about having a special experience. And I think it all has to do with the fact that Pesach is really, it's a Chag, it's not a Machos Asuros, right? It's about the experience, not about the object. But I think in the Bavli also, this can explain a lot of the halachas of Shmirah by Matzah. In Matzah, it's Pashut. The part of the experience of Matzah is not just eating Matzah, not eating Chametz, but guarding against Chametz. The only thing that I'm being Mechadish by bringing the Yerushalmi a little into the Bavli is that the experience of Shmirah is not just part of eating Matzah, it's part of the whole Chag. Starting from Bedikah, from Orlar Basar, going through, and maybe that's what you can read into Tosos, since the Torah was so Machmer on it. Why? Because the Torah wanted to make Pesach different from Acholos Asuros, wanted to make Pesach a unique experience. And therefore it says, clean your houses. Likewise, Chazal are machmer in it, and add to the scheme of Shmir, because the more machmer you are on Pesach, I know some people don't like chumras, but on Pesach maybe we should all like chumras, because the more chumras you have on Pesach, then the more you are really experiencing the kiyum of Shmir. Okay, you could take it, you could leave it. We have three possibilities for why the Torah was so machmir. Again, I don't love the first one within Tosso, so the Ran and Rishman others say it. The Radvaz could be, it's a little drushy for me, and I don't just mean it's drushy. It's drushy based on one line, which is not a prevalent theme in Chazal. And perhaps there's room to be a little more creative, be a little more mechadish rather, and especially take the, in line with Yerushalmi, say it's not about how bad it would be to eat chametz, but it's about how positive the experience of Shmirah Mechametz is. Which means, let's make every gzera to avoid coming to chametz, not because I think it'll really happen more likely than anything else, but because there's value to that gzera, to the experiencing that gzera. Okay, that's kind of the there's no. If there's any questions, now's your chance.
Would you say
what
that...
What about the mitzvah say of Tashbisu? Chametz is the only thing that we have to destroy. We don't have to destroy Chazer or Nosa, we have to destroy too. What about the mitzvah essay of Tashbisu?
Right, so I think that we're
you have to look at it, that Bedika is a kiyum in Tashbisu.
Correct. Now, I mean, that basically works very well with what I've been saying. You know, I've been avoiding saying the word Tashbisu, even though I very much wanted to, just because the Rishonim didn't emphasize the word Tashbisu for some reason. But I think, you know, the Rishonim didn't emphasize the word Tashbisu. But I think that could go, that could very well fit. Meaning, everything else, there's no kiyum to destroy. Maybe Avodah Zarah there is. But Avodah Zarah is also pretty machmir. You know, the Ravaz didn't convince me that Avodah Zarah is less common than Chometz. But everything else is not a kiyum to destroy. Here there's a kiyum to destroy. And if there's a kiyum to destroy, then very directly, if there's a kiyum to destroy, then, you know, the more we destroy, then the more of a kiyum that is. Again, the Rishonim, for some reason, didn't emphasize that. And, you know, didn't say, well, you just want a better kiyum of Tashbisu. But that would definitely fit very well with, you know, again, I don't mean kiyum tashbisu, that midoraisa, you're not mekayim tashbisu through bittul. Midoraisa bittul be al masagi. I just mean that if there is an idea of tashbisu midoraisa, then midorabana, they wanted to make a better tashbisu. Right? You can't say midoraisa, you weren't making tashbisu yet because the Gemara says bitul is good enough. But midorabana, they wanted a better kiyum of tashbisu, and I think that definitely jives with what I've been saying, even though, you know, for whatever reason, which I'm not certain to be shown, do not like put the word tashbisu front and center. Who else wanted to ask something?
Yeah, would you say that the kiyum of shmirah mechametz is a function of bayi ra'ah and bayi matzeh?
Well, I'd have to if I want to read it into Tosos, right? But I would say yes. I would say again. I would say again. In the Yerushalmi, it's much more clear. But I would say even in Tosos, and Tosos says the Torah was machmir. Lavra lo bayi ra'ah bayi matzeh. What does that mean? Again, I'm reading something. The Torah, not just Stam, the Torah is randomly Machmarayubalay Matzeh. The Torah wanted Pesach to be a unique kind of experience where you, like, get rid of things. Right? You're getting rid of things, not just avoiding them. That's Bayurabalay Matzeh. And therefore that, you know, maybe Tosis, I shouldn't use the word Shmira. I would say a kiyum of Harchaka Michametz. You know, if I don't, you're right. Tosis not take the same word as Yerushalmi, even though I'm claiming it's a similar concept. But for Tosis, maybe he wouldn't say it's Shmi, right? He's not working off the Yerushalmi directly. But it's a key of Harchaka Michametz. The Torah says, Vayirabayim Matzeh, because the Torah wants us to have an experience of Harchaka Michametz. It's an assumption of mine, but I think it's a fair one. And likewise, then I think it works a little smoother. So you're right. I'm not promising Tosu to use the word Shmira. I'm putting together. And maybe what the Yerushalmi called Shmira, Tosus just called Harchaka Michametz. And Tosus would say that's what Bayurabai Matzeh is part of. Okay, that's my suggestion. You can certainly take it or leave it.
Rabbi, now, the Rambam does use the word Tashbisu consistently.
Yes, but never about Bedika.
Yes, he does. And the Balach Gimel, he says Mefuresh, the word Tashbisu.
By Bedika? Don't recall that. Where is this? Everything got moved around a little here. What? I got the old one. Thank you. I don't remember the Rambam saying the word Tashbisu regarding Bedika. Says the Rambam, Divrei Sofrim, Lechapes, Achachamis, etc., etc. Vechemi Divrei Sofrim, etc. Yeah, I don't see the Rambam putting Tashbisu together with Bedika. Certainly not explicitly. Matter of fact, the Rambam, we have to get to Ishita. He's the one who most closely associates Tashbisu with Bittel. Okay, let's come back to that. Now, let's just end this discussion with the following question. What is a nafgamina between Rashi and Tosos? What's the difference between Rashi and Tosos? And Rashi says, Bedika is because of Bayira Bayimatze, and Tosos, Bedika is Zera Atu Achila. What is a nafgamina between Rashi and Tosos? We explored the sheet in and of itself. Are there nafgaminas? So, I did not come up with the first nafkamina. Rabbi Kiva Eger, on the side here, on the Gilead Shas, says, look at another Tosin Naf Yudam Adbeis. What does he mean by look at Tosin Naf Yudam Adbeis? Then, the Mishnah Naf Yudam Adbeis says, Rabbi Huda Omer, Bodkim, or Yodala Yudala Shachris, Ubishas Abir, Rachachamim Omer, we want the Chachamim, Lo Badak, or Yodala Yudala. Lo badik yivdal yivdal tochamoe. Lo badik tochamoe yivdal acharamoe. We pass like the Rachamim. If you didn't do bedika for whatever reason, you're chayiv to do it the next morning, even during the moed, even after the moed. What do we mean by during the moed and after the moed? Says Rashi, betochamoed b'shash shishis shehi moed habir. Betochamoed moed means the time of beer. When are you supposed to burn? In the sixth hour. Betoch ha-moed means the sixth hour. La'achar ha-moed means misheshov su'lamala ha-chetekshach after the sixth hour. So this is obviously Rashi is a little duchuk. We all know what the word moed means generally. Moed means the holiday. Right? Rashi all of a sudden says, no, betoch ha-moed means the sixth hour. After the moed means after the sixth hour. the time of beer is called the sixth hour is called moed, which again is very dochah because that's not the normal meaning of beer of moed. Not to mention the fact that Rabbi Yehuda said b'shas beer. So if he used the word b'shas beer for the hour of beer, why would the Chacham call it moed? So Tosas disagrees. Perish HaKuntras says Tosas bottom yudim base b'shas shishas. Because of Rabbi Yehuda carried like shas beer, as I just said. V'lam hashino l'shono. Says Socha Moed means during Pesach. Achar Moed means after Pesach. Why do B'dikas Chametz after Pesach? Asked Tosos. Ah, because whatever Chametz is left is Chametz Avrila of Pesach and is treif. So you have to B'dikas Chametz after Pesach so that you won't accidentally mix your Chametz Avrila of Pesach with your kosher food and eat it. Meaning, so you don't eat Chametz Avrila of Pesach. So why didn't Rashi say this? So Tosfos already points out for Rashi, the Russell, the Parish, the Farish came, they should pierce permission to the boat him, Shiloyavar Bayabra. Tosfos says this enough communion between me and Rashi. Is there such thing as Bedika after Pesach? Right? This is Tosfos points out this enough communion. How about the Chiyav of Bedika Achar Hamoid? Tosfos says Bokin Achar Pesach. Why? Because the Gzeirah lets you come to eat chametz, and you shouldn't eat chametz over Lower Pesach. Rashi says no. There's no chiyuv bedika after Pesach, and therefore moed equals shashishes, even though that is super duper dachlo. Why? Says Tosfos makes perfect sense. L'shitaseinu. I hold shem yavala achlo, so even after Pesach, shayet make Gzeirah shem yavala achlo. But Rashi is not violated by Rabbi Yimotzeh. There's no by Rabbi Yimotzeh after Pesach. There's no by Rabbi Yimotzeh in Chomash Avril Pesach. Therefore, the Gzeirah can't be Shayach, right? Because Gzeirah Atu Achila is Shayach. Because by Rabbi Yimotzeh is not Shayach. Okay, Tosfos already points out that's enough communion between him and Rashi. Basically, the first two Mishnayos in the Masechet, Rashi and Tosfos actually, the first and third Mishnayos in the Masechet, Rashi and Tosfos are Lishitasam. Another potential nafkamina could be the big machlok zachronim. It starts really in the Rishonim, but in terms of the Dika, there's a whole bunch of different machlokas Rishonim and Achronim here, which are similar, but we're not going to tease each of them apart. Like one of the machlokas is about Pirurim. Do you have to search after crumbs or not? There's another machlokas. What if you see a crumb? Do you have to destroy it? And there's another machlokas. You know, do you have to, or not a machlokas, a sugya, do you have to destroy little pieces, tiny pieces of dough that are stuck in your kneading dish? Okay, let's stick for our purposes with crumbs. Right? Pivurin. Says the Vilna Gaon, in the Maisa Rav, Vilna Gaon doesn't say, the Maisa Rav reports the minig of the Vilna Gaon that he searched through his sparim on Pesach to check if there are any crumbs of chametz there. And this is a tremendous machlokes Rishon of Achronim, which I just, you know, gave you a couple of makoros about. Do you have to search your sparim for crumbs or not? So, says the Chai Adam, that was on the Makorah sheet, says the Chai Adam, I don't know, maybe he was influenced by the Gra, he did have some connection to the Gra, says the Chai Adam, Hitzri Chacham Livdog B'chor Nustakin. Chacham required you to check in the cracks and crevices. The Avagav B'chor Nustakin in Lachjel Chamitz Kol Shukon Pibru, and even though in the cracks and crevices are only crumbs, I'm not convinced by this. Who says cracks and crevices are only crumbs? Cracks and crevices to be big cracks and crevices with whole cookies. I don't know, when I search my chorin stuck into my house, I find big pieces of chametz. Okay, but he's assuming that you have to search even small cracks and crevices. Okay, so what does he say? His assumption is you have to search for crumbs. He would agree with the Gra that you have to search your sperm for crumbs. Is this so pashut? So the Prechadish says differently. He admits the Prechadish says differently. Based on the Gemara, Daf Vav Amud Beis. What does the Gemara say in Daf Vav Amud Beis? The Gemara says, Amr Yehuda Marab, about three quarters of the way, through Habodek Tzorshi Yivatel. After Bedika, you have to say Bittel. That's, of course, what we do nowadays. My time, oh, why? If you did Bedika, why didn't you Bittel? Ine Mishim Piru, and if you say, well, you did Bedika, but you might have missed some crumbs. So do Bittel to Yivatel the crumbs? No. Halo Chashivi. The crumbs aren't Chashiv anyway, as Rashi says here. Rashi doesn't say here, but the Rishonim say Batalim Elov. They're automatically batal. What do you mean crumbs aren't chashav? Of course they're batal. What does batal mean? I don't think they're important to me. They're like dust, they're garbage to me, they're worthless. The crumbs are already dust and worthless. I don't have to say bittal about crumbs. Meaning there's no chash of crumbs. Okay, and if you say, well, since I lock my house, maybe that shows I want the crumbs. And the Gemara proves, no, I like my house because I want my gold and silver. So what does the Gemara say? Crumbs are not chashev. Now, what does the Prikhadosh say? Let's skip the Prikhadosh for a moment. You don't have to destroy crumbs, says the Prikhadosh. Can I read a prayer comment to Pesach? He quotes our Gemara above and base. I both exert she about to my time. He named it Peruin, although chashivis. Peruin are not chashev. Crumbs are not important. Kalomer and Wemela Bubble. They're Bubble Wemela. He says even if you see them, you don't have to destroy them. Not only don't you have to search for them, even if you know they're there, you don't have to destroy them. And that's against the Riaz. Okay, we're not going to deal now with what if you see the crumbs. But what does the Pichadosh say? He says you don't have to search for crumbs. You don't have to destroy crumbs because they're Bubble Wemela. What does the Chayyadim say back to him? The Chayyadim had a copy of the Prichadash. He quotes him in this paragraph. Says the Chayyadim back to the Prichadash. She says, again, starting from the beginning of the Chayyadim, Peirurin are batel anyway. You don't violate by Rabbi Yosef Peirurin. Because you might come to eat them, you have to destroy even less than a kazayas of Peirurin. Even crumbs less than a kesayis. What is the machlokas here? How about bedika achar peirurin? And what are peirurin? Let's just say bedika achar peirurin, right? Bedika achar peirurin. Says the Prichadash, there's no chiyuv to search for peirurin. There's no chiyuv to search for crumbs against this mice of the gra. Why? Because they're batel anyway and there's no aveira. Says the Chayyadim, I know there's no Aveira of Bayurabba Yimatze because it's Batal anyway. But you still have to search for crumbs because you might accidentally eat them, meaning they're making this dependent on Machlokas Rashi and Tosos. Right? If you say the reason for Dika is because of Bayurabba Yimatze, then Ein Chiyuv B'dika B'Peirurin Dibatlu Memela, they're automatically batel. You can't possibly violate by Rabbi Yimatzei with Peirurin. It's impossible to have by Rabbi Yimatzei because they're automatically batel. And this is the opinion of the Prichadash and others. But if you say, like Tosos, the reason for B'dika Shem Yavala Achlo, then maybe you could say, like the Chayyadim. I don't like his proof. His proof is, well, if you look at Chorin Ustakin, you must be looking for crumbs. I'm not convinced. Maybe in those days they had big Chorin Ustakin. Even nowadays, I have big horn of stock in. I don't know if I look behind the cushions of my couch, you can find a whole cookie there. It's not only crumbs. It's not a tiny crap. Okay, but he assumed you have to look at tiny craps. Ola chayav live dog. Peirurin. Achar peirurin. Why? There's aishinan shema yavo leochlo. And that is explicitly the logic of the Chayyadim, right? So, now, just to be fair, why did I write the word ulai here? Even if Shem Yavol Achlo, I'm not convinced I would have made Xerah and Peirurin. Why?
Maybe you're only going to come to eat something which is like a piece of bread or a cookie or something.
Right. Who says I'm going to be attracted to eat Peirurin, right? The Peirurin aren't so attractive. You know, they're not so tempting. Not to mention the fact that Bipnei Yeshua says, well, maybe the only one goes there when it would be very bad to eat it. You'd be chayv kares, you're not chayv kares. That's maybe. Right? You could say, nah, peirurin are totally mutter. I'm not even going to come to eat them. But that's not how the Chayyadim looks at it. That's the Chayyadim. The Prichadash cares about by Rabbi Yimatzeh. It says it's batel memela. You don't have to look for them. And that is Pasha Pshad and the Gemara in Daf Vav. Yeah, the paper we don't worry about. Chayyim says, no. What did the Gemara in Daf Vav mean? The Gemara in Daf Vav meant, if you miss a paper, then it's okay. But lechatchila, you have to check for them. We admit that if you miss them, it's okay. That's the Gemara in Daf Vav. And if you miss some paper, it's not a big deal. But lechatchila, chayyim, lechatchila, we know that b'di'evit, it's not in the vigor if you miss some paper. You know, that's the Gemara in Daf Vav. It's not the end of the world if you miss paper. But lechatchila, you have to check for paper. Why? Because Shem Yavala Achlo at least might apply to Peirurin. So here, if you look at Chayyim, he basically explicitly tells you this is enough to mean the Machlokas, Rashi, and Tosfos. You don't have to agree. You could say both Shadim would say you don't have to check. But lots of people say you have to check. The Chayyim, the Gra, etc. Obviously, the only reason you have to check is because Shem Yavala Achlo, because it's ludicrous to discuss Bali Rabbi Yimatze when it comes to Peirurin. Agav, I kept going back and forth for the last week. Do I want to discuss this Chazon Ish? Do I not want to discuss this Chazon Ish? Because the Chazon Ish, in the end, I didn't put on the Makoros, so maybe I just in brackets, maybe I shouldn't discuss it. He has a weird formulation when he discusses the issue of Pirurin. Halach Lamaisa, by the way, I think there are still two Minhagim out on Yom Hazeh. Some people check their Svarim, or if they don't check their Svarim, they at least like put all their Svarim away and sell them to a guy in a special Pesach Svarim. My impression, though, is that most people don't check their svarim for crumbs. They just check their house for, you know, pieces. But they don't check their svarim for small crumbs because they hold, like, the pre-chadosh. Makar Moshe Feinstein sounds that way.
Even without bitul, can you say that Bal Yerah has a shear, that you need a certain shear, like a kezayis?
Well, you need a shear of a kezayis. Yes, you do need a shear of kezayis to violate Bal Yerah. The whole question is, and this is, there's a famous slach about it, maybe we'll get to, Chatzis Shear is also Aser Minat Torah. So, you know, that's why you could have said, and some Rishonim look at it this way. Rather, some Achronim do look at it this way. They say, well, if it's less than a Kazayas, there's no Bayirah, what would be the problem? But it's not so pushy, because it might be that Chatzis Shear Bayirah is also a problem. That in and of itself is controversial, so that's why I don't want to commit myself. The Chazon Ish, I don't know if I want to make a big deal of it. What does the Chazon Ish say? On Daf Vav and Beis, he says, he says very clearly, you have to check your svarim, like the Gra, like the Chaya Adam, because there might be crumbs there, even less than a kezayis, etc. Why? But it's interesting what he says, because of chiyuv mechitza and the vavam and aleph. What does he mean by chiyuv mechitza and davavam and aleph? The Gemara says, what if a goy puts chametz in your house? You take no responsibility for it. It's not yours at all. A goy puts chametz in your house. What does the Gemara say? You don't have to destroy it. Rather, you just build a wall in front of it so you don't accidentally come to eat it. In this sense, it's like the word of Yudam and Beis. It's explicit that where it goes, you might come to eat it. Tosfos would say, that's why we have Bedika. And Rashi would say, no, that's only by Chametz Yadua, not by Chametz She'enu Yadua. But, says the Chazon Ish, and he says, well, when it comes to the Mechitza and Daf Vavam and Aleph, therefore, that rule of Daf Vavam and Aleph applies even to Pirurin. Why is he quoting the Gemara Daf Vavam and Aleph? Because the Gemara Daf Vavam and Aleph is talking about Chametz of a Goy, when there's no Bai Rabbi Yimatzeh. So what is he saying? I can prove from Daf Vavam and Aleph that there's a Chiyav to get rid to at least wall off chametz, even if there's no Bayur Abayi Matzeh, Shema Yavalacho. And he makes the jump that even if it's not Yadua, there's a Chiyav Bedika. So he's saying there's a Chiyav Bedika that we learn from chametz of a guy that applies even if there's no Bayur Abayi Matzeh. That's what he says. He says, we learn from chametz of a guy there's a Chiyav Bedika, which is a stretch. The Gemara never says you need to Bedika to search for chametz of a guy. Mar only says if you know it's there, you build a wall. But he says there's a special chiyuv bedika we learned from chametz of a goy that applies even when there's no bayur abayi matzei. What does he mean by that? And why is he quoting this chametz of a goy? So maybe he's just trying to say the chayi adam. He's trying to bring a proof for the chayi adam. His proof for the chayi adam, there's a chiyuv bedika. We're afraid you might eat something. Even when there's no bayur abayi matzei, is that there's a chiyuv to build a wall around chametz of a goy. Even though there's no Bayur Abayi Matzeh, which, again, to me is a strange proof because that's when you know it's there, not when you're looking for it. But what's funny is why does he go to this Gemara of Chametz of a guy and not the Gemara of, not the Mishnah Bokenis of Chametz? So maybe he's just trying to bring a proof, or maybe he's trying to say there are two aspects to Bedika. L'inyan the Chiyav of Dachvavam and Aleph, that applies to Peirurin. L'inyan, a different Chiyav wouldn't apply to Peirurin. His Lashon sort of implies, I don't want to build on this because it's really a Diyuk, says, L'inyan the Gemara Dachvavam and Aleph, that applies to Peirurin. Implying that L'inyan something else wouldn't apply to Peirurin. Maybe the Chazon Ish thinks both sides are right. Now there's two takanas. One takana is daf beis amin aleph. That's because of Aliyah Rabbi Matze. And there's another takana, daf vav amin aleph. That's because of Shema Yavul Acho. And one takana doesn't apply to Peirurin, but the other takana does apply to Peirurin. So maybe the Chazon Ish is trying to say, but again, I really can't prove this, and I'm saying this with trepidation. Maybe the Chazon Ish is saying that there are two dinim. There is daf beis of an aleph is because of bayibra bayimatze and doesn't apply to peirurin. But there's another chiyuv he learns daf vav of an aleph, which again is a tamen of me. How we can learn a chiyuv bedika from daf vav of an aleph? Because in daf vav of an aleph, you're not doing bedika. It's when there's chametz yadua. Daf vav of an aleph, that's because of Zeras Achila, and that does apply to Peirurin. Okay, maybe, but I can't. Maybe I'm being too medayik in his lashon. So if you say Bednarch being too medayik in the Chazon Ish is not a brisker, and he's not saying Tzvei Dinan, then just forget what I said. If you think you want to go back and look at the lashon yourself and see if there might be room to make that tikkun the Chazon Ish, perhaps. But in any case, this Chazon Ish is definitely parenthetical. You know, it's just his lashon very strange. L'inyan daf vav amin aleph, I can make a chiyuv to check for peirurin. Sounds like l'inyan daf beis amin aleph, he couldn't have made that chiyuv. So it could be, because he thinks there are really two different takanos. There's one takana of bedika after a chametz you buy the gemara by matzei for, that's daf beis amin aleph. There's another later takana of bedika even against chametz you don't buy the gemara by matzei for. That's from daf vav amin aleph. Okay, either that's a good deal or it's not.
Is this, now, would you then say that the second part of the Chazon Ish, where he says that Peirurin or Usser, that his underscoring that you can have a case where Peirurin or Usser, even though there's no Isser of Bali Raya and Bali Matze?
You mean when he says there's Chomish Avril Pesach and Peirurin, even though you didn't violate Bali Raya and Bali Matze?
Yeah.
The second paragraph. So how does that tie into, how does that tie into this? So here, you know, again, I'm very misopic exactly, I admit, I'm very misopic exactly what he means for this. Especially since he's talking about after Bittel. It's not, he's talking about after Bittel. He's talking here, it's a funny thing. He's talking here about even after Bittel, there's still an Isser of Chomesh Avril HaPesach, which may, it's not clear where this comes from, because we're afraid that maybe your bittel wasn't sincere. So he says, that also applies to Peirurin, even though your bittel was certainly sincere. Not only was it sincere, it was automatic. Would that tie into this? I'm not sure. There he sees it as more of a low plug. Unless you're going to say here also the daf vav is because of a low plug, but it doesn't sound like it. Daf vav is not a low plug. Daf vav says, because you might eat it. So right now, I'm not connecting the first and second paragraph. They're just talking about the same object, but I don't think they're connected. But we can talk about it more later. Okay, I just wanted to ask.
I have one question.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be easier to explain the minhag of the gra without getting into any explanations than actually shema yavala ochlo, tiny crumbs that you might find in your sefer? But wouldn't it just be easier to say along the lines of what Rabbi began to share with, that there's a tinda raisa ba'yir rabbi matzeh, then Chazal parallel that with taking Bal Yerma, that experience of avoiding chametz to the next level by insisting that you do bedika, and then we, with Minhag Yisrael, Chumra de Pischa, have taken that even a step further to avoid any smidgen of chametz whatsoever. So the Gra went out of his way to have that experience to remove any tiny tidbit of chametz.
I certainly could, but the Chai Adam doesn't. The Chai Adam says explicitly Shema Yavala Achlo.
Right, I know.
Theoretically, you can explain the Gra in different ways. The Chai Adam explains himself very clearly.
Correct. No, I understand it as one could say this is an off meaning between Rashi and Tosos, but I personally would think otherwise.
Right, I hear what you're saying. You're saying maybe even the Gross is working off Rashi. He just expands it, you know, in a way which is not totally necessary. It's possible, but okay, we'll leave that as a possibility. Now, I want to ask the audience here, because I have some ideas in my head. Are there any other nafkaminas you can think of between Rashi and Tosfos as to when you'd be high with Yubedika, when you wouldn't? I have two other nafkaminas. The reason why I didn't put them in the Korah sheet is because each of these is like a whole amud of Gemara, of a whole sugya, which we'll see, it's much more complicated than we think. So I don't want to say like this is nafkamina, it's so posh, because it's a whole Gemara that we'll have to learn. But just logically, you could think of two other nafkaminas. But they're both sugyas, and I'm not promising you how the sugya is going to work out, and how, what Rashi is going to say, and what Tosa is going to say. We'll have to get there. So basically, here I'm saying this is what we would think, but we'll leave it for when we get to those sugyas. One is a sugya and daf dalet. One is a sugya and daf vav. Here's a pasha case. What if it is? What about the case like this, where it's Chametz shall Reuven, Bebeso shall Shimon. What if Reuven's chametz is in Shimon's house? Who has to do bedika? Right, you had a brand new house from the contractor, and I lived there for a while and left and ate, and I probably have chametz in all the cracks and crevices. Who has to do the bedika? The owner of the chametz, or the owner of the house? So what would you think logically? Who has to do bedika? The owner of the chametz or the owner of the house? If you hold like Rashi, who should have to do bedika? Who would violate by Rabbi Yimotze? The person. Yeah. Okay. You might be right, although that's not what most people think. Who's violating by Rabbi Yimotze? The owner of the house or the owner of the chametz? If my chametz is in your house, who violates by Rabbi Yimotze?
Owner of the chametz.
Owner of the chametz.
The owner of the chametz. Although I'm not disagreeing with Feivel. So, lechora Reuven. Why? Shahare, he's going to violate Bayurabai Yimotze. After all, the owner of the chametz should have to do bedika because he's going to violate Bayurabai Yimotze, or maybe not. But if you don't like Tosos, then the gzera is Shema Yavala Achlo, who's going to come to eat it? Reuven's not in the house anymore. Shimon's in the house. Right? Meaning, chametz shall Reuven. Chametz shall Reuven, v'Shimon dar b'bayis, l'chora Shimon, right? Meaning, l'chora, we would think, again, this l'chora, if you're living in a house, but I ate chametz there, so if it's in order for by Rabbi Matzah, I should have to check to make sure I don't violate by Rabbi Matzah. If it's so you don't come to eat it, you should have to check to make sure you don't come to eat it.
Maybe it's, you won't come to eat it, it's not yours. Why would you eat it? It doesn't belong to you.
Ah, what do you mean? If I find chametz, you know, all of a sudden in the cracks and crevices in my house, I'm going to eat it. You know, who else can
hungry.
Care?
Talking about saying, a ghostly oven.
No, the assumption is I'm living in the house now, you know, and I make myself at home, etc. I know you could question these assumptions. You know, like, is it still remains chametz? Maybe it's machgerd, etc. But let me just read you a Gemara Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, which is much more complicated than this, but the first lines of the Gemara says the Gemara Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, two-thirds of the way through, beginning of the line, Ba'ami Neymar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Hamasker Bais Ha'avir Bar Basra Al Milav Dok. If I rent my house to you on the 14th, who has to search? Al Hamasker Lav Dok, Dechamir Didehu, Odilma Al Asoch Lav Dok, Deisur Vashu Seikai. Does the landlord have to search because it's his chametz? Or does the tenant have to search because it's in his possession now? It sounds like that's exactly this question. Does the landlord have to search because it's his chametz that's in all the churim stuck in at this point, and he would violate by Rabbi Matzei? Or does the tenant have to search because he's the one who's living there now, and he's the one who might eat it because the chametz is in his rishus? Okay, we'll see that it's much more complex, and we haven't even gotten to the answer of the Gemara, but that would, you know, we would expect that when we get to that Gemara, we're going to say, well, l'chora, there should be enough between Rashi and Tosos, and see how Rashi works out, and see how Tosos works out. right? If it's my guy, Rabbi Motzi, but you're the one who you know, in the middle of the night when you get up to go to the bathroom, might all of a sudden notice a ring ting and eat it, then that should be a nafkamina. Another nafkamina should be a Gemara on Daf Vav Amin Aleph. I hope it's on Amin Aleph. It's going to be a parallel case. What about this case? What if I have a house, there might be chametz there, I haven't cleaned it, but I'm not living there. I went away to a hotel for Pesach. Do I have to do bedikah or not? What if I go away for Pesach? Do I have to do bedikah or not? If you say we're worried about buying Rabbi Motzei, then should I have to do bedikah? Bible? What would you say? You would say, Yotze mi beso le Pesach. I go away for Pesach. If we're worried about Rabbi Motzei, then exactly, l'chora, I should be chayiv. Because who cares that I went away for Pesach? I'm still going to violate by Rabbi Motzei if I have chametz in my house. But if you say it's because I might come to eat it, then l'chora, you think I would be potter. Why? Because how can I come to eat it? How can I come to eat it? I'm in the Grand Canyon. How can I eat the chametz in Woodmere if I'm in the Grand Canyon? It's too far away. I'm not going to be there to eat it. Right? This is also a sugya and daf bav. I'm an aleph. I'm a farish by Yosef Shayara. Right? If someone goes out in the desert or on a ship, does he have to do bedikas chametz or does he not have to do bedikas chametz? Okay, so these, we would think basically these two nafkaminas are very similar. We're separating out the physical proximity to the chametz from the financial ownership of the chametz. And if you went with the Rashi's approach, you would think it should depend on who financially owns the chametz. And if you go with Tosafot's approach, it should depend on who is living in physical proximity to the chametz. But both of those are complex sugyot, so we'll just keep these in mind, and then we'll see how they play out when we get a little further in the Gemara. Okay, this is, I think, all I wanted to say about the Machlokas, Rashi, and Tosfos. If no one has any questions, we will go
Rabbi,
on.
Rabbi, yes. Wouldn't that depend, the last Nachman you mentioned, wouldn't that depend on different ways of formulating how to defend Rashi? For example, if you think that either way there's a Chiv Bika because they historically then just instituted or that because so that people shouldn't forget if they forget to do the bittul. So then even if you were far away from your chametz practically right now, the chiyah bedikas would still exist equally in this case. So even within the Rashi side, it just depends how you set up Rashi, but it could very likely be that there wouldn't be enough in here.
Correct. Now that depends. Once you get into Rashi, you know, are you going to go into every case, whether you will forget, whether you won't forget, etc.
Look, they said, look, you have to...
Fair enough. I'm molded. It might depend exactly which sub-formulation of Rashi you take. But in general, I think this is still a valid chart. Okay. Let's ask the next question, which is what, you know, many of the Rishonim dealt with here. Rashi makes two assumptions. What are the two assumptions of Rashi? Rashi, I mean the very first Rashi. I mean, technically, the third Rashi. Shelo yavro lo vayira vayimatzi. Let us figure out which two assumptions Rashi makes. You do bedika so that you don't violate by your own Yimatzei, says Rashi. Right? Says Rashi, Bodkin es hachametz shelo yavor alav bebal yeroa ubal Yimatzei. Rashi's making two assumptions. His first assumption is that bedika is necessary in order to avoid bayira and bayimatze. And that's what we spent the last year and a half analyzing. That was Tosfos Kasha. And this leads to Tosos's attack, etc., etc., that we've discussed. His second assumption is that bedika is sufficient in order to avoid bayira bayimatze. Right? Bedika is good enough that it gets you out of Bal Yerubayim Matzei. The Dika is effective in getting you out of Bal Yerubayim Matzei. Right? This is what the Ran or Amin Dov and all the Rishonei Sfarad here start analyzing. Is it really true that the Dika suffices to get you out of Bal Yerubayim Matzei? Why would we be uncertain whether Bedika sufficed to get you out of Bal Yerubayim Matzei? Because after all, even after Bedika, what might happen? We're only human. Even after Bedika,
you might not find all the chametz.
Right, Bedika doesn't guarantee that there's no chametz left in the Gemara Daf Vav and Beis, the line we didn't read yet. There still might be a gluska yafa that you miss. You still might miss a nice Hostess Twinkie or a chocolate chip cookie, etc. Right? So Rashi is saying, no, Bedika gets you out of Bal Yerubayim Matzei. Is this so pashut? So, what does this mean? And Tosfos does not attack this assumption, right? Tosfos doesn't say, what do you mean? Bedika's not enough to get you out of Bal Yerubayim Matzei. Even after Bedika, you might have missed something. No, this is... this Tosfos seems to agree, and almost all Rishonim agree with Rashi, right? Meaning, Rov Rishonim. Here, everyone disagrees, and you have to touch up Rashi, and Rashi can't really mean it. He must have meant something a little more complex, etc. Rov Rishonim agree, right here, right? What do we decide in the end? That... that this is not literally true. This is not literally true because Mida Araisa Bidbidzal Bialma Sagi. And therefore he said Rashi doesn't really mean you need to do Bidika in order to avoid Bal Yerubayim Matzei. Maybe meant in the days of the Mishnah you needed to do Bidika because they didn't do Bittul yet. Or he means you need to do Bidika so you don't forget to do Bittul. You need to do Bidika in case your Bittul was not wholehearted. You need to do Bidika in case you find something after Bittul and then you decide you want it. You know, but Rov Rishonim agree. And therefore, what do most Rishonim say? So Rov Rishonim agree. This part Rov Rishonim agree to. That Bidika is sufficient in order to avoid Bal Yerubayim Matzei.
Rabbi, yes. How do you see that Rashi says it's sufficient? Rashi says the reason why we are bodek is so we won't be over Bal Yerubayim Matzei. It doesn't mean
obviously that. It's effective. We're bodek so that we're not over it, and after bodek, we're not over Bal Yerubayim Matzei.
Maybe we'll succeed because Rebbe's case was that if you then find a Twinkie afterwards, Rashi doesn't say it's sufficient. Rashi says that that's why we are bodek.
We're okay. I read Rashi. I don't mean he says you're reading as he says we're bodek so that. Hopefully we won't violate Bal Yerubayim Matzei. I'm reading Rashi Kipshuta. No, we're bodek so that we don't violate Bal Yerubayim Matzei. Because after we bodek, we're not going to violate Bal Yerubayim Matzei. I think that's Pashup Shat in Rashi.
It comes out clearly from Rashi on Daf Vav when you
read it. Absolutely. Very clearly from Rashi on Daf Vav, but I think it's Pashup Shat in Rashi or either. I think it's very dochu to read it. Otherwise possible, but dochu. Now, what are we basically asking ourselves then? We're asking ourselves the following question. Mida Oraisa... Mida Oraisa, what is effective in avoiding Bal Yerubayim u'Bal Yimatzei? And most Rishonim say either Bedika or Bittul. Right, we know Bittul's effective midoraisa and abdalad amana base midoraisa Bittul be almasaki, and we also know that Bedika's effective midoraisa. Who are these Rov Rishonim who say that Bedika, that either one is effective midoraisa? They are the Mashmaos of Rashi. Right, even here, forget about the fact on Daf Vav base he says it. I would say the Stimas Tosos means the Shtika. Okay. After all, Tosos does not argue on that. Tosos doesn't object and say, what do you mean? Bedika doesn't get you out of Bal Yerubayim Matzei. And very explicitly, all the Rishoni Sfarad, right? The Rabbeinu David and the Ritva, the Ritva Zahavmina otherwise, but that's Maskana, and the Maharam Halava, who has his main discussion later on, And the Ran, of course, and I'm probably missing something, but that's good enough. Right? All say that Midoraisa, either one is good enough. That's what we saw in the Ran, that Midoraisa, you could do either one. And likewise, we deduct and everyone else. And likewise, that's rich with Maskana. Midoraisa, you could do either one. However, there is another Shita, a less mainstream Shita, which is that, nope, there's a Shita, a minority Shita, that says that Davka Bittel, but Bidika is not sufficient because you might miss some chametz. Okay, who says that Shita that Bidika is not good enough? Because after all, in Bittel, you can't possibly miss anything. Kol chamira b'chamia de'ika d'rpshusi. By definition, I haven't missed anything. I'm in Bittel with my chametz. In Bidika, I don't know if anyone ever had the experience of finding chametz in the middle of Pesach because they missed it in their Bidika. But, you know, we make mistakes. And sometimes you miss something in Bidika. The Ritva in the beginning of our Masechta struggles with this. Says the Ritva in the beginning of our Masechta. He says, Perish Rashi by Rabbi Matzah, the Hitshua love, that Bidika's Chametz Rabbanan, Ulaolam, lo nothing by Rabbi Matzah, Lina Chametz lo Matzah, lo Bittel Daraisa. He says, they ask, he doesn't say who they are, they ask, what do you mean, Rashi? Bidika's not sufficient. You still violate by Rabbi Matzah unless you do Bittel. You can't avoid by Rabbi Matzah because you might miss something. You're over by Rabbi Matzah in the Chametz lo Matzah until you do Bittel, which is Daraisa. And then he says, no, but Filon Timso Lomer, because Chomitz no rice of Afisagile. No, but what meaning his first attack on Rashi is some people say Bidika is not sufficient. You need Davka Bittel. That's the first possibility in the Ritva. But then he says, and even if you'll say no, Bidika is sufficient, either one is sufficient, he still says Bidika is not necessary. So this is the Ritva in his Havamina, his first opinion. But who really says this? Right? The Ritva.
The Torah.
In his Havamina, the Torah says this. This is the opinion of the Torah, even though people try to deny it. But it's very hard. Let's look at the Torah in the Makor Rashit. Says the Torah. Says the Torah. Ba'achar b'dika the Torah in Tafaf Lamedala. B'yad b'lai livat lenu v'yomer kol chamir di'itza b'yushu seib lo chazitiv lo b'yark libat lebi ha'afra. The hashta. Hashta after b'dika. Afilo nishar b'bayis chamish lo matza eino over love. Now you did bittol. If there's some chametz left, you're not doing an aveira. That'll be hefker because it's hefker. What's the obvious diuk of the Torah? Now that you did bittel, if there's chametz left, you're not over. But until you do bittel, if there's chametz left, you are over. Now that you do bittel, you don't do an aveira. But without bittel, it would still be an aveira. And the Taz and the Bach tried to get out of this Torah. They say he didn't really mean it. All he meant was that if there's chametz left in your house, and then you find it later and decide you want it, you'll be over, which is very dachuk. But that's not shot in the Torah, because look at the next Torah, Tuf Mem Vav, as the Magen Avraham points out. The last line of the part I quoted, he says, Hilkach, im lo bit lo, it's a whole discussion, which we're not up to now. If you find chametz on Yontif, are you allowed to burn it, or is that filo Yontif? Im lo bit lo, if you find chametz on Yontif that wasn't batel, you'll see enemy surfen, you should take it and burn it. Kidei shol yavro lo b'mezid, so you don't violate by Rabbi Yimatziv b'mezid. Until now, you only violated b'shogeg. Now, says the Magen Avraham, hold on, what did the Torah just say? He said that if you find chametz on Pesach without bittel, from now on, you violate by Rabbi Yimatziv b'mezid. Because until now, you violated b'shogeg. But you still violated it. He didn't say until now, there's no aveira. Until now, there's aveira b'shogeg. And from now on, it's aveira b'mezid. Right? So, the Torah clearly in two places. Okay. If you want to be super dachik, deny the Torah said this, then the Prima Gadim says, maybe the Torah was only quoting his brother who said this, but he wasn't saying it himself. So it's the Torah's brother who said it. But clearly, the Torah said it. You know, you want to say that in two places the Torah says it, but in one place he doesn't mean it, the other place his brother. It's a little dachik, the Torah. The Torah clearly holds that, obviously it's not amazing. If I search and I miss a chocolate chip cookie, obviously I don't violate my rabbi about something amazing. But I violate an Issa Doraisa B'shogeg because I have chametz in my house. And who said it? Who else besides the Torah said it?
And possibly the Rosh.
No, the Rosh didn't
say it.
Shiboli Aleket. Shiboli Aleket is the only one who says it super duper duper explicitly. Shiboli Aleket from last Makarshi. He says, V'achi Rabbi Yamin Pirsha Tam Mashal in the Haim Levar Saman, Shari Bedika Enu Ikra Mitzvah. We'll spend a lot of time on that. Etc. Let's read on. Halamanta shabitul ikra mitzvah. Elishet shvichum livdo xerashema, etc. One second. Let me get dot. Here we are. Kevin she'ena bedika levat ikra mitzvah. Bedika itself is not the ikra mitzvah. Are we dying to be bitul? Bedika needs bitul. He says explicitly, if you did bedika, but you weren't mivatel, what you don't see, are you over bal yimatze? Alasama, you violate bal yimatze on what you didn't see. Unless it's buried under three tefachim of rubble. He says explicitly, if you do bedika without bittel, you violate bal yimatze. So the Torah and the Shibali Haleket are very explicit, and the Ritva says that is Havamina, but then says, seems to retract. The Torah and Shibali Leket are very explicit. The Torah and the Shibali Leket say that if you did bedika without bittel, you violate Bayi Rabbi Yimotze. You violate, at least violate Bayi Yimotze, guess that. You violate Bayi Rabbi Yimotze on anything you missed. Bedika is not sufficient, midoraisa. Okay, this is A. Then we have here a big machlokas, the Das Yachid. The Ritvin is Havmin and the Torah and the Shibali Leket, the Maskana say, Mida Oraisa, basically, Bedika is worthless, Mida Oraisa. It doesn't help you to get out of Bayi Rabbi Yimotze because you might have missed something. Mida Oraisa, all there is Bittul. Bedika is an invention of the Rabbanan. While most Rishonim say, no, Mida Oraisa, you have two options, either Bedika or Bittul. Mida Rabbanan, you have to do both. Right? Everyone agrees Mida Rabbanan, you need both. Now, let us just see what does the Ran say? The Ran tries to bring a raya that what is called bedika is midoraisa. Bedika has a doraisa status. Bedika has a doraisa status. As opposed to bedika has no status midoraisa. According to the Shibali Leket, and that's the Shibali Leket's whole point. Remember, what's the Shibali Leket talking about? He's really talking about Hochas Brachos. He's trying to explain why we don't say Shechidonu on B'dikas Chametz. There are a lot of other answers. Don't worry, you don't have to accept his. Why don't we say Shechidonu on B'dikas Chametz? Because B'dikas Chametz is not really anything. It's only Xerad Rabbanim, Mido Raisa, and no such thing as B'dikas Chametz. B'dikas Chametz doesn't exist, Mido Raisa. But most Rishonim say, no, Mido Raisa, of course B'dikas Chametz exists. Midoraisa, there are two ways to get rid of your chametz. You can either do bedika or bittel, and either one of them is sufficient. The Ran brings a raya that bedika's chametz exists midoraisa from the Gemara later on in Dav Zayin of Beis about Or Haner. The Gemara Dav Zayin of Beis says Minahani Mili, like 2/3 of the way through the Dav. How do we know you need Or Haner? Over a Tisla, Amad Mitzia, 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 Mechipos, 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 Mineros, Mineros, Miner. So we learn mitzia that mitzia is through chippus, and we know the chippus means neiros because this pasuk in Zechariah, achapes ushalayim baneiros, neiros being there. Okay, we'll get back to that. What's the point? The point is we learn a drusha. That Bal Yimotze means to chippus, and chippus means to an heir. So we have a drasha that Bal Yimotze means chippus. So that's a makor mida oraisa to chippus. The Ran brings us raya. We know that bedika has status mida oraisa. Maybe there's another option. It could be there's another option, but at least bedika has status. It's effective mida oraisa because we learn it's irashava chippus mi mitzia. Right? It says Bal Yimotze. It says Bal Yimotze gavia, just like Bal Yimotze gavia is to chippus. Bal Yimotze means you have to do chippus. Okay. How would you get out of that raya? So if you look at Rabbeinu David there, he points out that, well, it's not so pashut. Rabbeinu David right there points out that Avagat B'digal or Nerbadim Yigrabonan, he, Amin Amin Amin, let's asmachta b'alma. It could just be an asmachta b'alma. Not just it could be an asmachta b'alma, but the Gemara there a little later says, Tana de Beit Rabbi Shmuel, Leili Arbasar, Bokes the Chavis Lorin Air, Afi Shem Brian Ledover, Zechel, it's not a Brian Ledover, it's a Zechel Ledover. Shanemar, etc. It's just a Zechel Ledover. It's not a proof, it's just a Zechel Ledover. So it seems to be an asmachta. So basically, this would depend how you look at it. Do you say, and therefore, maybe the drasha of Metzia Chippus on Dav Zayin and Beis is a real drasha? Or do you say no? That drasha on Dav Zayin and Beis is Asmachta B'Alma. Now, the truth is, it's really not a good, it's not a strong kasha, it's not a kasha at all that's worthy of like it. And for all it says, it's an asmachta b'alma. Right? As a matter of fact, according to both theories, it could be asmachta b'alma, even if a dika has status midaraisa, that doesn't mean this drasha is a real drasha. However, the tzlach makes a diok that in Rashi there. I mean the diok when I saw the Rashi, I found in the tzlach. It's a good diok. You don't need the tzlach to make this diok. Look at Rashi to Maskel Zeichel Adover. And did anyone make a deal from Rashi to Maskel Zeichel Adover there? Rashi Zayin Bei Zeichel Adover says, Kid Bar Shinan, it's only a Zeichel Adover, meaning it's not a real drasha. Bahashu Afarish Kroy Heichav, Raya Mamish Les, it's not a real proof. Why? El Asmach to Bial, it's only an Asmach to Why? Did they bring Torah, me did bring Kabbalah, and who? Because you're learning Exer Shava, the Torah from the Nevi'im, and you can't really learn Torah from the Nevi'im. Now, let's think for a second. What was the Exer Shava here? It was from, remember the Psukim. We went from Bal Yimotze to Vaychapes, Vayimotze by Yosef's brothers, to Achapes as Yerushalayim, Baneros, and that's how we got in there. Right? Which part of this is Divrei Torah to Divrei Kabbalah? Which part of this is Divrei Torah to Divrei Kabbalah?
The Torah and there.
This part, this is Navi, this is Torah. The first drasha is Torah from Torah. It's the second drasha that's Torah from Nevi'im. And Rashi says it's not Asmachta, it's Torah from the Nevi'im. What's the diuk in Rashi? This part, the Ner part is Asmachta, but the first part is not Asmachta. The first part is a real drasha. Meaning the diuk from Rashi is that Chippus is a real drasha. Ner is an Asmachta B'Alma. And that's a good diuk from Rashi. That's, I would say, Rashi Lishitase, right? That's Rashi Lishitase, who says that Diyuk and Rashi end up Zayin and Beis. What's the Diyuk and Rashi and Zayin and Beis? That Ner is in Asmachta, but Chippus is a Drasha Gemura. The fact that you have to do Chippus if you want to get out of Bali Rabbi Yimotze, or at least that Chippus is one way of getting out of Bali Rabbi Yimotze, is a Drasha Gemura. How do we know Chippus gets you out of Bali Rabbi Yimotze? How do we know you're supposed to do Chippus? That's a Drasha Gemura. How do we know the Chippus has to be with a Ner? After all, maybe you can do a Chippus without an air, with sunlight. That is only in Asmachta B'Alma. So I think Rashi's nice that he's with doing that. It's a real drasha midaraisa, at least for Chippus. Chippus midaraisa. Ner is an asmachta. That makes sense. Obviously, the Torah and Shmuel and Lekka would just say, no problem. That's an asmachta b'alma. Anyway, it is no big deal. And that's
what about the
you could say this whole thing's asmachta b'alma and that Gemara, or you could say no. It's really explaining it in midaraisa.
Rabbi, even the idea that it's from something that. Rebbe's understanding that that's like a separate drasha. At first, there's a need to do chippus, then only later on, there's an element of Nair. Isn't the whole Gemara just trying to explain Nair? There aren't two drushas here. It's one long drasha leading to that goal.
And meaning, what you're saying is that Metzia to chippus is not a drasha. Metzia to chippus is just background.
See, Metzia wasn't, Rebbe, Metzia to Metzia isn't a drasha. It's one long.
That's just the way they're describing the chain. I understand. What Chesky's saying is that this diuk in Rashi is not correct. It's not that Chippus is a real proper drasha. Because there's no point making a drasha of Chippus if you're not going to go to Ner. Because the drasha of Chippus is not interesting if it doesn't get you to Ner. Right? That's what Chesky's saying.
Yeah, Minah HaLamili, is going on Lo'or HaNer. I mean, whatever, ignoring the little quote.
I understand. No, I understand the main discussion is Lo'or HaNer. We're just discussing whether there's something else going on that was not the main discussion because it wasn't that word in the Mishnah, right? So, Chesky's saying Chippus is not a real drasha. Chippus is not telling us anything we didn't know. And I'm agreeing with the Tzlach that perhaps, no, Chippus is a real drasha. What's Chippus telling us? You might have thought by your Mali Matzei, just don't have any chametz, that you know where it is and that you can find very easily. But Maslan by your Mali Matzei means don't even have chametz that you need to look for.
What about the drasha and the Yerushalmi?
How do we know that you can't even have chametz that you need to look for? Chippus. Okay, you can take it or leave it.
What about the drasha and the Yerushalmi?
Which one?
In the Yerushalmi that you brought in the beginning of Pesachim.
Yes.
There's a drasha that Bdika and Biur Midoraisa, or at least it's a drasha that they learned from a pasuk.
Correct. Although interestingly, the Gemara uses the phrase Biur and not Bdika. But nonetheless, clearly, it makes it sound like that's a drasha from Bdika. Correct. But you know, that's in Yerushalmi. But even in the Bavli, I think there is perhaps a hint to. Perhaps a hint. And the Ron starts with this. After all, we know it's the rice, the darshim sukkim. Right? We darshim sukkim. So he's saying no. So it could be that's all in asmachta. The darshim sukkim is asmachta. It could be that Rashi would hold there's a derisa half of the drasha and an asmachta half of the drasha. Or it could be the first day in the Gemara holds a real drasha and the second day holds an asmachta. Okay, you can take it or leave it. Now, we don't have much time, unfortunately. But let's just ask ourselves, why do most Rishonim think that Bedikah is good enough midoraisa? Why do most Rishonim think that Bedikah is good enough midoraisa? Anyone?
He did as much as the Torah commanded
him.
How do they know that Bedikah is good enough midoraisa? Let's start with the Shita of Rov Rishonim. Rov Rishonim is that Bedikah sagi midoraisa. What's their proof?
The Gemara in Vavam and Beis says...
The proof is the Gemara in Vavam and Beis. What is the Gemara saying in Vavam and Beis? Let's remember. Habodei tzor sheyavatel. Habodei tzor sheyavatel. The Gemara asks, why does Habodei need to be a vatel? Now we know the Shibala like its answer. And we know what the Torah would answer. Ah, because otherwise if he missed something, he violates Vavam and Beis. What did the Gemara say? The Gemara says, well, maybe because of Hebrew. Nah, Hebrew aren't important. So why does Habodei need to be a vatel? Maybe you'll find a nice cake and you'll want it. So just be a vatel later. What's the problem? No, maybe you'll discover too late and it'll be too late to be a vatel it. Now, look at this Gemara. The Gemara says, what's the problem? You might find a cake. And then what? You might find a cake and it's too late to be a vatel it then. What's the diuk in the Gemara? You might find a cake when it's too late to be mevatel it then. Why not just say you might find a cake and you will have retroactively been over the whole time? Why not even say even if you don't find a cake, there might be a cake and you will retroactively violate by your Rabbi Matzah the whole time? The clear assumption of this Gemara, the proof is that Vavam and Beis, that Habodik Sarsi Vatel
is only
is only a Xera that you might find a Gluska.
It would make sense only 10 minutes because it would make sense.
And then be over. How do I know the Xera is only the thing you'll be over? And be over, let me say a little better. Mishas Mitzia Ve'elach. How do I know the Xer is only might be over Mishas Mitzia Ve'elach? Because, says the Gemara, why not just be Mevatel when you find it? I mean, it's no problem. From now on, just be Mevatel when you find it. They're not worried about being over until you find it. Right? But the Diyuk is not worried about an Avera until you find it. That's a diuk from the Gemara. The Gemara says, what's the problem? You might find a cake that you want. And the Gemara says, who cares? What's the problem finding cake when you want? Just be mevatel when you find it. Meaning, it's no problem until now, and from now on, be mevatel it. So the Gemara answers, no, because you might find it when it's too late to do bittel. But then Gemara clearly assumed they weren't worried about violating Bayru Olamatsi until you find the cake. They were only worried about violating Bayru Olamatsi after you find the cake. That's what all the Rishonim took the Shita. So this is their proof. What is the Smara? It seems to be a good proof. As a matter of fact, the Bach has a lot of trouble. This is called the famous Kushis HaBach, which the Slach and the Vavim Beis spent 3 pages on. You know, what did the Torah and the Shmuel Elekhet say about this Gemara? Which everyone has their own opinion, including myself. But let us just ask one simple question. Hold on a second. For most Rishonim, that Bedika is sufficient. How do they know Bedika is good enough alone? Because the Vavim Beis says, the only reason you need Bittel is Xavier, lest you find something and it's too late to do bittel. But until you find something, it's okay. So that's because they said, oh, just take care of the problem from now on. What about the problem until you find it? There was no problem until you found it. Only from now on when you find it, it's a problem. And Rashi there is very explicit. But the Gemara seems, so what's the svar about why? After all, if there's chametz in your house, you're violating Bayur Al Yimatze. What's the svar? Why is there no Aveira? If you missed a piece of chametz, why is there no avira if you missed a piece of chametz? So what's the answer? Taka, why is there no avira?
Lonina Torah l'malach yasharis.
Says Rabbeinu David, Lonina Torah l'malach yasharis. The Torah only expects you to do what you can. The Torah only expects you to do what you can. And Rabbeinu David has to add one thing. What does the word tashbisu mean? The word tashbisu means burn, search and destroy. Because if the word tashbisu meant bittel, then we would say, well, the Torah wasn't given to Malchei Sharis, just do bittel. But no, says one, and one explanation is, Rabbeinu David says, lo nidna Torah lemalachei hasharis. What's his assumption? His assumption is, and this is what Rabbeinu David says. Says Rabbeinu David, if I can read for Rabbeinu David in that base. Says Rabbeinu David, sorry, let me just turn to that base. Says Rabbeinu David in that base. Me'achar shebadak fikocho shlo nit natar lo malachi ha-shareis, va'atorah kipishta kipshata, and don't pay attention to, don't be so much on the target that says bittel. What's his assumption? He makes this assumption that the word tashbisu means physical destruction. If the word tashbisu means physical destruction, the Torah told you tashbisu, physically destroy it. How do you physically destroy it? You look for it. How do you look for it? You look the best you can. Oh, what if you missed something? What do you mean you did what the Torah said the best you can? If you did what the Torah said the best you can, that is good enough. If you did what the Torah said the best you can, that's good enough. That is Rabbeinu David, and that's really also the same exact sheet as Maram Chalava. If you look at Maram Chalava and Daf Vav Beis, he's discussing the same question. The Machlok is Rishonim whether Tashbisu means physical destruction or Bittel. Not what you're allowed to do midaraisa, what the word means. And he says, Tashbisu can't mean bittel. If Tashbisu had meant bittel, then you'd have to bittel midaraisa. Rather, Tashbisu means physical destruction. And therefore, if you did physical destruction the best you can, that's good enough midaraisa. He doesn't use this phrase. But, okay. It's the same idea. Why do I say it's the same idea? What do they, Rabbeinu David and Maram Chalava, have in common? Rabbeinu David and Maram Chalava have in common that they say, let's start with what the Torah told you to do and see if you did your best. Since the Torah didn't tell you to do bittel, bittel is a chap the Rabbanim came up with, is a clever patent they use in Hebrew, is a clever shortcut. The Torah said physical destruction. And when the Torah says physical destruction, it means search the best you can. Obviously, the Torah doesn't expect you to search perfectly, just to search reasonably. Therefore, since you did what the Torah told you as best you could, then automatically you can't be an Aveira. It's not an Aveira, it's not an Aveira B'mezid, it's not an Aveira B'shogeg. Mezid means you violate the Torah on purpose. Shogeg means you're lazy and didn't do your best. If you did your best, that's not mezid, that's not shogeg. That is anus. So this is the Torah of Lomit, the Torah of Malachi Sheres. The assumption is that they both focus on this. The pshat of the pasuk is physical destruction. You did it the best you can, and therefore, if you fulfilled the pasuk the best you can, that's enough.
How does one to determine if he was searching the best he could?
That's exactly the question that people ask. Once you start asking that question, you think you're Malachi Asharis. Once you start asking that question, you're already in trouble. When you ask that question, you're already in a religious problem. The answer is, you just have to be reasonable. Just be reasonable. Do what you think is a good job. You know, have Islamos for mitzvah, such as Rizos. Do what you think is a good job, and don't start asking yourself, how do I know I did the best I can? When you start asking yourself, how I know I did the best I can, then you end up in big trouble. That's problematic.
Rebbe, does the Chazon Ish therefore look at it differently altogether?
No, the Chazon Ish would say you can check the Svarim the best you can. How do you check the Svarim? I don't know, maybe he didn't have so many Svarim. Don't know.
Well, he knew it all by heart anyhow.
What?
Of course he knew it all by heart anyhow.
Yes. Okay, now, the Ran says a little differently. What does the Ran say when he explains this? The Ran also wants to give an explanation. What does the Ran say when he explains this?
He's stubborn. Probability.
Probability.
He's stubborn because
he says, now that's not the same as Allah Hashari. It's not saying it's basically doing the best you can. No, it's based on the rule of Chazakos. What does that mean? If you searched Chazaka that you don't have anymore, after all, if you do a proper Bdikas Chametz, you probably don't have any left. Chazaka, the normal way of the world is you don't have any left. I know, one in every 10 cases, someone will miss something. Or one in every 20 or 30 cases. But it's a chazaka that if you search, you find. That's the normal way of life. Normally, we assume that if someone does a good bedika, whether it's halachic or anything else, that they found what they were looking for. That's normally what we assume. Right? I hire someone to come check something. I assume he checked it well. And I don't worry, maybe I'm going to die because they didn't check it well and there's carbon monoxide poisoning a little later. No, we assume that if someone checked, they checked. That's some chatar lechazakos. If you rely on a chazaka, it's not an aveira. Because you rely on a chazaka, it's similar to Rabbeinu Dov Maram Chalava, but slightly different. Maybe we'll see a nafgamina. We will see a nafgamina. But the Torah said that a chazaka is good enough. And if you search, it's a chazaka, there's nothing left. What if your chazaka was wrong? It's good enough. And it's not an aveira. I don't mean you haven't done that. There isn't a piece of chametz there. I mean, if you're not responsible for your aveira, right? And what's he assuming? That there's a chazaka that after bedika, there's no chametz left. The Gemara says, gzeira shem yitzah guzke yafu. We know the Gemara is a gzeira. There might be chametz left after bedika. Yeah, that's a gzeira. Zahira, you know, worrying. But that's not the normal way. The normal way is chazaka that there is, as a chazaka, that there is nothing left. However,
there are many Rishonim that hold that you can only be samech in a chazaka when you don't have a better solution. But here you have a better solution.
Okay, so the Ran doesn't assume that way. The Ran doesn't assume that way.
Okay.
Now, what the Ran and the Dovid have in common is that it's not your fault. Because either you did the best you can or you relied on chazakos. Tosos has a totally different way of explaining this. To find this Tosos, you won't find it anywhere in this parak, but if you start the next parak, says Tosos. Adaf of Aleph, in the next parak, he says, Bechei mashver kamed, departi mishaf lo livtelei mashver kol kamed lo mashkachas lo av bel yira'eh. It sounds like he makes the same deal that all the Rishonim make. Until you find it, lemafreya, you don't find it, you might rabbi matzeh until you find it, says Tosos. But why not? He doesn't say because you did your best. And he doesn't say because it was like you relied on the chazaka. What does Tosos say? He says, "Ve'ein over shumbal yatmin, deval yatmin nafkul amilo yimotze, ve'ein zeh motzoi kevin shein yodeya heichan hu." Tosfos makes a much bigger chiddush. He says, it's not an excuse. This is basically the Ranamim governor of excuses. You did an Aveira, but you're not responsible for the Aveira. There was an Aveira. There was a Hefta Shel Aveira, but you're not responsible for it because it's not your fault. Tosfos goes much more radically, right? This is an excuse. I don't mean an excuse in a bad way. You're really excused. Tosfos is not an excuse. It's just not by your Abba Yimotze in the first place. It's a hafka. What does Tosa say? Tosa makes a big finish. Obviously, we'll have to deal with this in Daf Hey. Lo Yevra means it shouldn't be seen to you. It's not seen because you looked and you didn't see it. Lo Yimotze, the Gemara says explicitly, don't think you can hide it away where it's not seen and then keep chametz on Pesach. Lo Yimotze can't be found at all. Says Tosos, a drasha that's not before it's used this way anywhere in Shas. Lo Yimotze means it's found, it's available. This is not called available because you don't know where it is. If you don't know where it is, then it's not Niren, it's not Nimtza. That's Tosos' chiddush drasha. Yimotze means available to you. Nimtza, not present. Sometimes Yimotze means present, right? When the philosophers told you there's a Motzoi Rishon called Hashem Yisbarach, they mean he's present. But no, also Nimtza means it's findable. Not findable. Everything's findable. It's available. Says Tosos, tremendous chiddush. Why is it a chiddush? It's not such a bad read of the pasuk. It's just not, doesn't say this explicitly anywhere in Shas. Says Tosos, he says, em eino yodeya eifohu eino lo nir'eh velo nimtza. Since you don't know where it is, you look to your pantry, it's not there. And there's something, you know, behind the couch that you didn't notice, under the fridge you didn't notice. It's not in there, right? You don't see it. It's not Nimtza, that's Tosa's Kiddush. The fact you don't see it is not a Kiddush. It's not even Nimtza, because Tosa says Nimtza means available to you. It's not available to you because you don't know where it is. Therefore, says Tosos, if it's not Nira, not Nimtza, it's not by your own blood in the first place. You don't need an excuse like, oh, well, there's Chametz Nira than Nimtza, but it's not your fault. No, for those, there's no Chametz in the first place. Chametz that's not Nira than Nimtza was never Usher in the first place. And therefore, of course, it's Pashut, says Tosos, that Medika is good enough. As a matter of fact, even the Medika is already big Chumra for Tosos, because really, Midaraisa, all you need to do is check in your pantry where you know you keep Chametz. You don't even need to check in the cracks and crevices where you don't know if there's anything there. But certainly, if you check the cracks and crevices and you miss something, since you don't know where it is, it's not by your Abba Yimotze. Okay, we didn't get to defending the Torah and the Shibboleth elected yet. But what we did get to see was the Machlokas we shown him, is Bedika sufficient or is it not sufficient? Gemara Daf Lamed Beis sounds mefurish that Bedika is sufficient because they need a whole explanation why you need Bittul. They don't just say if you miss something, you're automatically violate. Oh, why is Bedika good enough? What if you miss something? We're being done around Kalava. The Torah told you to search and destroy, assuming the word Tashbisu means physical, not mental. And you did the best you can. When you do the Torah the best you can, that's good enough. The Ran, you don't need a specific deal. You have a general principle. Chazaka is always good enough in the Torah. When you act based on Chazaka, you check your house. Chazaka, there's no more chametz. When you rely on Chazaka, that's good enough. Midaraisa. And Tosa says, you don't need an excuse. You do the best you can if you rely on Chazaka. It's not even by your own in the first place because they reinterpret the word Yimotze to mean not Nimtza exists, but Nimtza available to you. And therefore, since it's not available because you don't know where it is and you don't even know that it's there, therefore it's not an Aveira in the first place. You don't need an excuse. It's just a Hafkaz Geder Hamaisa. Hamaisa. Okay, we'll have to see if there's enough Gemina between that. Meretz Hashem. Next time, the only thing we left out, we didn't get to, I'm sorry, is how to defend the Yishmael elected in the Torah against this Gemara on Daf Bava of Beis. Okay, the Ritva, not so worried. And he backtracked anyway. So you could say, you don't have to defend it. He backtracked. But the Torah and Israel are like it, how to defend them against the Gemara on Daf Bava of Beis. We'll have to end with that. We'll start with that in Mir Tzashem next time. And then we're going to continue. I'm going to ask everyone to forgive me. Next time, we're going to go in order of the Gemara. Right? I know my Rebbe of Lichtenstein would only want to go in conceptual order, but we will compromise a little. We'll go in order of the Gemara. Next time, we'll just briefly finish up this inyan, and then the Gemara goes on a tangent for two blot. We'll follow the Gemara's tangent for two blot until they get back to Dine B'dikas Chametz. And don't worry, we'll have plenty of time to get to all the various halachos of B'dika and beer and bittel, etc., even if we follow the Gemara's tangents. Also, that's how you get B'kias in all different inyanim and shas, by following the Gemara's tangents. So we'll just finish up this up briefly next time, and then we'll continue in some of the tangential issues that the Gemara raises. Okay, if anyone has any questions, please feel free to
ask. Can I ask something about the last Tosfos that you mentioned?
Yes, you can.
Isn't the idea of Tosfos very similar to the way the Rosh explains Rava's Shema Yimsa Guska Yafa and Tafava Mbeis? The Rosh has a different explanation than Rashi of Rava's Halacha Sheva Yimsa Guska Yafa, the Rosh that you gave us. And it seems to me that the principle is the same as the principle that Tosfos brings here.
The Rosh and Dafav says the same thing as Tosfos and Afkafal from Beis. I did not. What does the Rosh say there? The Rosh says, the Rosh says, he says, even if you don't know that they're there, it's still an Isser Val Yirah. It's still an Isser Val Yirah. The Rosh sounds there not like Tosfos Nafka Valav. Even though you don't know where they are, it's still Val Yirah. Isn't that the opposite? What he does sound like is in the Sugi of Peirurin, he sounds like it's, you know, like you know there, like there's lots of Peirurin, that's okay, but that's not so far. Anyway, yeah, I'm not sure where you've seen the Rush that he's like. Sorry to say.
There's a Rush that learns that I saw in the Makor Sheet. Isn't there a Rush on the Makor Sheet?
Is there a Rush on the Makor Sheet?
Where did I see the Rush?
I don't know. The Rush on Daf Vav is definitely not like that Tosfos.
Okay, I have to take a look because the Rush learns Rava Halacha of Shemi and Yimsa Gluska Yafa is not talking about on Pesach like Rashi learns, but it's talking about an Erev Pesach.
Okay, you have to look at it and show me.
All right, I'll have to look at it. I don't remember where I saw it.
Rabbi, may I ask a question?
Sure.
I think by reading the Ram, I'm going back to the Ram. First of all, Rabbi David is a Talmud of the Ramban, and the Ramban is the one who holds that you can't be Samech and a Chazoka when you have another Birur that's easier. That's the Ramban at the beginning of Chulin on the Bala Maor. So Rabbi David couldn't hold the sheet of the Ram of Chazoka because you can do Beitel. But the thing that I really wanted to know is Rav Lichtenstein read the Rambam differently than Rebbe read the Rambam. I mean, the Rambam says in Perek Sheni, I think we just read it too quickly. The Rambam says, Mitzvah Taseh Min HaTorah LaHashbit Chametz, Kol Zman Yisur.
And then
in Perek Bet, he says, Halacha Bet, Umayi Hashbos Hazi Amur BaTorah Shibatenu B'Libo.
Right.
And then in Gimel, he says midivrei sofrim twice. Midivrei sofrim l'chapes et hachomis v'chorim. And then he says, v'chei midivrei sofrim shubotkim u'mashbisim hachomis balayla. He's dafka emphasized the word u'mashbisim, that he's talking about tashbisu. I think that the Rambam has to be read carefully. I think Rav Lichtenstein read it like that, but I'm not sure. I can't...
I didn't understand what you're saying. Now I understand what you're saying. In which case, what the Rambam is saying is that the Bedika is also an extension of Hashbasa.
Right.
That's what you're trying to say.
I don't know. That's a lot of thought has to be given to it, but that's...
All right, let me think about that. Now I hear what you're saying.
Ready?
Yes.
Can I make one more comment? I really don't think Rashi says anywhere explicitly that it's sufficient. Aside from on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, on the Vav Amud Beis one and the Zayin Amud Aleph one, Rashi's Adarabba. Rashi's Lishitas. Rashi, I think, says throughout this Masechta that what really happens is that you're only over on Bal Yerah by Matzeh once you have chosen not to do Bior when you encounter Chametz. And therefore, Bedika will help ensure that not come to play. Because if you get rid of all your Chametz, you do the very best that you can, then you're not going to come to find any Chametz which you didn't know about and then choose to be chas on it. If you have Chametz in your pantry, you're already failing in your mitzvah of Tashbisu. You're already over on Bal Yerah by Matzeh by choosing not to destroy it. If you don't know about it, so you should search to make sure that you don't come to violate that, because if you find it, there's a good chance you'll be chas on it.
Okay, first of all, technically you're not disagreeing with anything I said. You're adding to what I said.
I'm saying that because Bedika is not sufficient to not be over Bal Yerah by Matzeh. Doing nothing is also technically sufficient to be over on to not be over Bal Yerah by Matzeh. But as soon as
I understand what you're saying. I don't see any raya to what you're saying, personally. And it's not Matuyi Gramashi and Dakdeis who says Bokin Shalom. You're saying you wouldn't fight Bal Yerah by Matzeh without Bedika. You have to Bedika just to be an extra step away from Bal Yerah by Matzeh, which Mela everyone says to answer the Bittul question anyway. Look, I can't deny that what you're saying is possible. I just don't see any proof for what you're saying.
Well,
give me the ration of Vav and Beis. Everyone has that Vav and Beis, and they all say, and you're saying that would be even if you hadn't done Bedika, and everyone else says only because you did do Bedika.
Right. I'm noting that Rashi's point is that it's clear from Rashi that you're only over Bal Yerah by Matzeh when you encounter and then are chas on it. So
after you did Bedika.
Not necessarily.
I know, but that's what everyone else says. So I'm saying the proof that Rashi doesn't mean like everyone else.
The burden of proof isn't on me. I'm just saying that Rashi doesn't say it's sufficient.
Okay, we can argue who the burden of proof is on. Seder.
All right. There's your call.
I mean, you might just be turning Rashi into Tosos, you know.
All I'm doing is I'm just saying that Rashi isn't sufficient. That's all I was saying. I mean, other than you, Rashi. Right, that's what I was saying.
Okay.
Shkaya, thank you.